Nuketown Radioactive for Monday, January 10th, 2006.
The Babylon Project was our last best hope for peace. It failed. But in the year of the Shadow War, it became something greater. Our last best hope for victory. The year is 2260. The place, Babylon 5.
Okay, so in hindsight, that might have been one of the more ominous intros to pick for the first show of the new year, but hey, what the heck. I always loved that particular intro to Babylon 5. Just the whole, it was our last best hope for peace, it failed line. I mean, it was just great, and it gives me chills every time I listen to it. I, folks, am your host, Ken Newquist, and it's been a while since Radioactive came out, but, you know, holidays and all that good stuff. It's been pretty good around here. The Christmas was a heck of a lot of fun, if fiendishly busy. It was definitely a fun Christmas for Jordan. I mean, now last year Christmas was fun with Jordan, but the thing was, you know, she was still, you know, she was like at one and a half. So, you know, she got the fact that there were presents and she got into that and she had a lot of fun, but she wasn't aware of, like, the larger things that were going on. So this year, we were able to have more of a build-up to it. She was able to, you know, really get into the decorating of the tree. Well, the tree is because, of course, we have the Keek tree. If you listen to Radioactive number 23, you would already know that. And generally, you know, just had a lot of fun hanging out with the family. I had off from work for a week. Well, actually, a little bit over a week. And that was cool. I got to watch some DVDs. I made a concerted effort to watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and I got to watch two of the three extended editions. I'm still waiting on Return of the King. I would have gotten through that one too, but my wife kind of ended up watching them with me, and now she wants to watch Return of the King when I do, which means, you know, it may be June by the time we finally get around to actually watching it, and we, you know, when we're both in the room at the same time. I got some cool stuff. Actually, there's one other thing that was really funny, was that Jordan liked distinguishing between the two trees. We had the Geek tree, of course, and she very proudly told everyone that it was the Geek tree when they came into the house. But we also had the Candy Cane tree, which is how she described the main tree, which Sue had hung candy canes on. So that was pretty cool just to see her her reaction to the whole thing. And although there was one downside to the Geek tree this year, namely, certain things really scared Jordan. I don't really understand the logic behind some of it. There was one Spider-Man ornament that she didn't like. It was Spider-Man hanging upside down from some webbing. She didn't like Chewbacca, the one with Chewbacca carrying 3PO on his back. She didn't seem to have any problems with Darth Vader, which was kind of surprising. But then again, I don't think she really appreciates who Darth Vader is just yet. So maybe next year that'll be more of an issue. But yeah, it was the first time the Geek Tree actually powered up, it kind of gave her a bit of a jump. But I think ultimately she came to really like the Geek Tree. Now on the cool stuff front. I got some nifty geek toys. I got a couple of role-playing game supplements. I got Iron Heroes, which is Mojave Press's Conan-style D20 combat. It's very intense, and very intense combat offers all kinds of interesting options, almost no magic. So I'm really looking forward to giving it a whirl. I don't know if I ever will, but, you know, it's one of those books I just wanted to have on hand because I wanted to read through it. I got The Complete Adventurer, which is a D&D source book. I got, the two rule books for GURPS 4th edition, the basic character book and the campaign book, which was, again, that was one of those things that I don't know if I'll ever actually get a chance to play GURPS, but I kind of felt that my collection needed GURPS in it, you know, just so I have that other, you know, alternative to D&D and some of the other game systems that I have. Just, you know, and it's such a fixture in the role-playing game world. Let's see, I also got a really cool Life is Good tire cover for my Wrangler, which was, I love the whole Life is Good theme. I don't know if any of you have ever seen it, but they've got t-shirts and such. You can see them at, like, Dick's Sporting Goods and such. They have a whole bunch of them that are related to Jeeps, and there's a bunch that are also kind of just outdoorsy. But, you know, I really like the sentiment, and now I've got it on the back of my Jeep. I got a Lego Scout Walker. It's the Walker from Episode 3, so it's got, like, a little clone guy on him, which was very cool. It's now sitting on my desk at work. And I got, for the Geek Tree, although I don't know exactly how I'm going to end up deploying it, was the Hogwarts Express Model Railroad. It's an HO gauge model railroad set with the actual Hogwarts Express. So it's got, like, the red locomotive with I think, like, three coaches on it. This is just a beautiful thing. Sue got it for me. It was a huge surprise. It's something that I had actually written about on Nuketown, and, you know, amazingly, Sue actually read it, which is astounding that, you know, she doesn't normally read Nuketown. So, but anyway, she was checking out the Geek Tree. I know what it was. She was checking out the Geek Tree page because when we did the invitations to our Christmas party this year, she was trying to figure out when the Geek Tree had first gone up. But anyway, so she got me this thing, which was so cool. But the big thing is, you know, figuring out a way to set it up so that the dogs don't step on it, and the kids don't Godzilla it, which could definitely be a consideration next year, since we'll have Jordan at, let's see, I guess she'll be 3.5, and the baby will be at about 6 months, so between the two of them, they could do a hell of a lot of damage. and now on the, the only other thing I got was, which was just awesome, is a Kensington 7-port USB hub, and I say it's awesome because my Power Mac, the one that I actually do all of my work on for this show, for Nuketown, you know, you name it, it only has two USB ports, which is really kind of annoying. And it wasn't really a big problem until, like, maybe this year, when I have this kind of proliferation of USB devices. So I asked for the hub, I got it, and now I have everything plugged into this thing, and it's just wonderful. The only thing I need to do now is actually a USB 2 hub. It works with USB, but I just need to go out and buy, like, I think it's like a $20, maybe $30 USB 2 port for my Power Mac. But hey, normal USB is going to do me just fine for the next couple of months at least. On the baby nuke front, things are going really well. Sue is about 4.5 months along and feeling good but tired. I know the math seems kind of funky because the baby's not actually coming until June, which you think, oh, well, that's 6 months away. But when all is said and done with the way that they calculate when your due date is, it ends up that you're pregnant for, like, 10 months. You know, it's probably actually 9 months from the date of conception, or 9 months and change, but you know, when you actually sit down and start doing all of the math and stuff, it really does come out to something like 10 months, especially if you end up like we did last time, where Sue was like, I think she was like a week late, maybe a week and a half overdue with Jordan. I don't remember the exact, everything's kind of fuzzy, but anyway, it's going really good. We had our first, we're going to have our first ultrasound this week, which is just awesome. You know, it was great the first time, We saw that with Jordan. And, you know, it's one of those things where you really need somebody else to point it out to you, because otherwise you just don't have any idea what you're looking at. But to actually, you know, to see the baby, to see the heartbeat going, that's just awesome. And no, we're not going to find out what it is, so we won't be seeing any of that stuff. But, yeah, that's I'm really looking forward to it. We're doing that on Thursday, and it's just going to be... Well, it's just going to be awesome. It's definitely, you know, it's a milestone. We also had our first hospital tour this week, where we went to St. Luke's in Allentown. And it was kind of weird. I mean, normally you don't do these hospital tours until you're much further along. But as it turns out, we could end up going to one of three hospitals in the Lehigh Valley, either St. Luke's in Allentown, Sacred Heart, or Lehigh Valley. And... So basically, because we don't necessarily know which one we're going to be going to, we want to check all three of them out, and we also want to be able to figure out what our favorite one would be, because last time around, we didn't actually go anywhere in the Lehigh Valley. We went to Hunterdon Medical Center in New Jersey, which if we had our choice, we'd be going there again, but since I moved to my new job, we have to, healthcare changed, and we'll need to go to some place in Pennsylvania. But anyway, so we show up, and you know, for when you're in your own little world, in your own little family, you're like... You know, to us, to our way of thinking, this is all flying by so fast. It seems like June is right around the corner. You know, it just seems like you're on a lightning railroad, right? But then we're sitting there in the hospital, and you know, there's women in this room who are, you know, like 8 months pregnant, and clearly much, much further along than Sue. And you realize, oh yeah, you know what? We're really not quite as far along as we thought we were. Or we're not quite, you know, it kind of put the whole thing into perspective, if you will. So anyway, that was just kind of funny. Now on the baby front, impacting on the geek front, the gaming room is going away. I mean, it's not necessarily going away right now, but by April, the gaming room will be gone. Now, this is basically where I play Dungeons & Dragons every week. I've got a lot of my gaming stuff down there, board games, that sort of thing. And now it all has to move, because the gaming room is going to become Jordan's room, and Jordan's room is going to become the baby's room. So by April, the whole thing's going to be gone. So my challenge now is to cram an entire room's worth of gaming crap into half an office, which is on the third floor. So I have been slowly... I cleaned out the gaming closet, which had the majority of my stuff in it, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, well, this is the stuff I really need to be able to have access to, and then, like, some of my old first edition and second edition D&D stuff, some of my, you know, the gaming systems that I'll never play, like West End, Star Wars, but, you know, I just love having those books. I love having them available. I'd love to have them in the new game room when it, you know, on that distant day when it finally comes back. So all that stuff's going into storage. But anyway, so I've moved a whole bunch of stuff up to the third floor. I've been trying to reorganize the bookshelves and stuff up here so I can get all my board games in. You know, it's kind of like playing Tetris, trying to jam all this stuff into place. And just, you know, trying to come up with a freaking system. You know, I'm actually reverting back to some of the things I used to do when we had an apartment and I didn't have a dedicated gaming room. The gaming room was the dining room. And so now I'm putting all my stuff into milk crates. So I've got like all of the rule books for D&D that I use in my campaign every week. You know, those are all going into a milk crate, so I can just take them wherever I need to be, either on the third floor, the second floor, the first floor, or whatever. So that's kind of, well, it's kind of sad. You know, it's going to be awesome to have the new baby, don't get me wrong, but the gaming room has been a fixture of our house for quite a few years, and I'm really going to miss having that space. So, yeah, that is just the consequence of being a grown-up and being a dad, right? Now, that has in turn given rise to the thought of, well, gee, you know, maybe I need to get some other gaming, or not rather gaming space, but geek space around here, because losing the gaming room, right? So I think I'm going to colonize part of the basement. I've been thinking about upgrading my workbench for a while, and as long-time listeners have known, I've been doing a lot of home improvements around here, so I've had to kind of concentrate more on my workbench and keep my tools organized and actually be able to find stuff. So what I've been thinking is, if I actually got an honest-to-God workbench, as opposed to the kind of, I don't even know what it's like a bulletin board with a wood backing that I've commandeered for my workbench downstairs. But anyway, if I could replace that with a real workbench, I could move some of my gaming stuff down there, like my miniatures, and I could actually paint my miniatures, which would really be cool, just kind of sit back and have a space where I could just work on that stuff, because I don't really have any place like that right now. So, anyway, that was my thought. I would take the old iMac that I've been trying to figure out exactly what I'm going to do with. I'm thinking, I could bring that down there, I could use that to listen to my podcast, to my music, do a little surfing if I needed to. It's not necessarily what I'm not looking for necessarily a place to hide from Sue and the kids, but, it would be nice to have that other just space to kind of make up for the gaming room going away. Now, on the last thing on the news front, and I'm sorry guys, this podcast is going to be almost all about news this time around, we've got the new Nuketown. I've been talking about redesigning Nuketown for a while, and Nuketown being the main site. If you have never been there, it's at nuketown.com. And at work, I've been spending a lot of time working on Drupal, which is a open source content management thing. And basically, it's a way of managing your website. It's an open source, I think I already said that. But anyway, it's an open source tool for managing your website. And the more I work with it at work, the more I thought, hey, you know what? I could convert Nuketown over to this. Because it does a lot of the things that I've always wanted to do with Nuketown, but have never really had the time to do. And I've implemented some of it, but like, for example, everybody who visits the site could have a login. And then once you log in, you can do stuff like post comments to stories, which is something people have said that they've wanted to do and something that I've wanted them to be able to do. It would also be able to have a forum, which Nuketown does have a forum. It doesn't get a lot of traffic, but this would integrate the forum directly into Nuketown. It wouldn't be its own little standalone thing, which is what's going on right now. You'd be able to... The other really big thing is that it would save me way amounts of time. I think as parents, as geek parents, time is definitely at a premium. And, the things that suffer most when it comes to that, it's not going to be the family, it's going to be the hobbies, it's going to be Nuketown. And I think the cool thing about Drupal is that it will allow me to really kind of streamline some of the things I'm doing around here, make it much easier for me to post blog entries, make it amazingly so much easier for me to do the podcasts, because it assembles all the RSS feeds for me, including the RSS2 feed that's required for the podcast. So all I need to do is assemble the show notes, post the MP3, and boom, it's all done. It's all good to go. And, I can spend 15, 20 minutes editing the freaking RSS file every time that the show gets updated. So if I can get this thing working the way I want it to, it's going to be awesome. And I think it's going to be great just for the Nuketown community. I get to hear from you guys, but there's not necessarily a lot of back and forth between the people who actually read the site or listen to the show. And I think that this would go a long way towards just making that happen. And, it's just going to make life easier for me, which means the whole thing will be easier to do on an ongoing basis. So, when will this great and wonderful new Nuketown show up? Well, that's a good question. I've been actually building it on my Mac. The wonderful thing about Mac OS X, for those who don't know, is that it's got Unix underneath, and it ships with Apache, which is a web server. So I can basically throw Drupal on here, get the whole thing kind of tweaked, at least roughed out as to what I want to be able to do, get all the modules downloaded, get the site working the way I'd like to, and then go out and make sure that it's actually going to work, and then invest the time and the money in building the new site. So I've just about got everything done. The only thing I really want to do is tweak the style sheets and get Google AdSense working on it. But I'm thinking that the test site will be up probably within a week. And the test site will be accessible through just like an IP address. The URL won't switch over. And then probably about a week after that, we would go live with the new site, which involves me just changing the DNS entry so that it points to the new host instead of the old host. But generally speaking, I think it's going to be pretty freaking cool. I'll let you guys know what's going on with that. I'll definitely be looking for a few volunteers to check it out when it's in the testing phase, and definitely when it goes live. That's about it on that for now.
This show is part of the Out of This World Entertainment on the Sci-Fi Podcast Network. TSFPN.com.
I did want to include one bit of sci-fi-ishness, and that would be a site of note, specifically Sci-Fi Dig. This is a podcast I've wanted to check out for a while, and it's one not unlike this one, although it's got, I'd say it's got more sci-fi and a little less endless rambling like you get here. It's also more timely in general than mine is, I think it would have a little less navel-gazing? Yeah, belly button gazing, whatever. You know what I mean. Anyway, listen to the most recent version of the show, the most recent edition, and it was good. It focused on two things, at least as far as I got through it. I still have a little bit more listen to, but it focused on a discussion of Aaron Malcolm's introduction of Narnia to his daughter, which apparently led to an obsession of all things Narnia with her, which is definitely something I'm hoping to replicate when my daughter Jordan is older. Right now, she's just a little too young for that. Although, I gotta tell you guys, I really wish I could have taken her to see the Chronicles of Narnia. You know, she's almost there. You know, I think another year or two and she'd be able to go see it. But yeah, not quite. But I digress. And he also talks about a review of the Sin City DVD, the new special edition version. And he's actually one of the few people I've heard who loves Sin City, but isn't completely enraged by the fact that they released the crappy edition first and then came out with this new uber special edition. But, you know, there had to be a few level-headed folks out there, right? And so, all in all, pretty good podcast. I always like listening to podcasts by other geek parents. From what I've read from the previous shows, he talks about a lot of good sci-fi stuff, often focused more on media, on like shows and movies. So, you know, he talks about, reviews of Dark City, the Stephen King's The Dark Tower, Babylon 5, Serenity, those sorts of things. About what you'd expect from a sci-fi geek show. I enjoyed it. I think it's definitely worth checking out. I'm definitely planning on downloading a few more of them, and it's part of my regular listening routine now, so check it out. Of course, I suppose if I really want you to check it out, I should tell you what the web address is. It's www.scifidig.com, and of course the link will be in the show notes. So, that'll about do it for this time around. I really didn't get to everything I wanted to talk about, because as I alluded to, I did actually get to see the Chronicles of Narnia and King Kong. I got both of the soundtracks. I finished Dark Tower 7. You know, I've been doing all this great stuff, but I just didn't really have time to get my notes together on it. And I'm one of these guys who definitely needs his notes. Otherwise, I will ramble even more than I already do. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can send me an email at nuketown@gmail.com. You can also check out the forums at www.nuketown.com/forum. And finally, there is also the forums over on the Science Fiction Podcast Network at tsfpn.com if you want to get in touch with me there. Although I will admit, I've been slacking off and haven't been there in probably 3 weeks, so there could be huge spawn of threads and I wouldn't know about it. But I will now, because I'll be going over and checking it out. That's it for now, guys. I do hope to get back on a regular schedule, so with any luck, you'll see a new show next week. But, you know, don't hold me to it, because, well, you know. You know how it goes, guys. Anytime a podcaster says that a new show's coming out next week, you can almost guarantee that one won't.